Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is so good to be here tonight. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to sing and we're going to worship God, just as we always do every Wednesday night. And then we're going to have our Bible study. But before we do anything, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here once again. For we don't know how many more opportunities we'll have to gather like this, but we are so thankful that we can be here now, that we can be here this night, to be in Thy presence, to worship Thee, to sing Thy praises, to glorify Thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here this night. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us, O God, to follow Thee, to worship Thee, to give Thee our hearts. And I pray, O God, that everything we do here tonight will be done according to Thy perfect plan and Thy perfect will. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 134 in the chorus book tonight. It's Beginning to Rain, number 134. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of my Father saying, whosoever will may drink of the water. For I'm promised to pour my Spirit out on sons and daughters. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. And this next chorus we're going to, you know, it can be a little hard to find the right note on this one, but we are going to give it a shot. Number 9, the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Number 9.
Thank you.
Helpless without him. So let's go to number 91 and sing without him, number 91.
Without him, I could do nothing.
go to number 84 and sing I Need Jesus, number 84. I need Jesus. God. And I tell you what, I'm standing on the Rock of Ages tonight. Let's go to number 52 and sing Standing on the Rock of Ages, number 52.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our hymnals now and go to number 237 and sing I've Anchored in Jesus, number 237. Outside lately, and I tell you what, when we have those storms, it gets me in the mood to sing these songs. Praise God. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Matt, would you help us with that, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank you this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all thy blessings. We thank thee for thy mercy, thy grace, thy sustaining power, which has kept us. I pray, O God, that thou would continue to lead us by the palm of thy hand. Continue to direct our paths. Continue to show us what we must do. Reveal thy perfect plan to us, I pray, and give us thy wisdom, O God, on how these funds should be used for thy glory. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee. And we just pray, O God, that thy perfect will be done. Use this church, we pray, as a shining light in a lost and dying world. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there's another song that I feel like singing tonight, and I'm not sure of the number, but I think I can find it. It's actually number 93. Number 93 in the hymnal, Oh, I Want to See Him. Number 93.
Praise the Lord. He is good. And, you know, we've all had goals at times in this world and things that we look forward to, or appointments that we had to keep, all that. And, you know, it's kind of amazing because sometimes, you know, it seems like it's so far off, you know, and we make those plans. But, you know, suddenly that thing is there. And, you know,
Amen.
We go through that door and then it's over. And, you know, we've been singing about the coming of the Lord. We've been talking about it. And we've been believing it's going to happen. And one day it is going to happen. That reality is going to be in front of us. And, you know, we're going to see Him. We're going to meet Him in those clouds in the air. And praise the Lord. Forever we're going to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing, that hope that we have deep down inside our very being. Praise the Lord. It keeps us going because we've got something to look forward to. One day these trials, these tests, this life is going to be over. And we're going to be in that other realm, that realm where the Lord is. Where, oh yes, the Lamb is light. And oh, we have no need of the sun. Oh, no stars even, because Jesus is light. Praise the Lord. And we're going to walk in that light. Amen. We're going to be with the Lord, forever with the Lord. This is going to be past, and you know that song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I mean, it's so true. The things we've gone through that might seem like mountains at times are going to seem like nothing when we see the Lord. It's just going to be such a, you know, a great sigh, such a wonderful relief, you know, blessings that we can't describe, to be in the presence of the Lord and to know this fleeting life is over, and we've made it to those shores. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, we've got much to look forward to, but, you know, even though our life is short here on earth, the things that we do are extremely important because it impends, our eternity impends upon how we live this life, how we talk, how we think, how we breathe, all those things, you know. Oh, it's all going to have an impact on how we spend eternity. Amen. Amen. And I thank God we have opportunity right now tonight, yes, to get closer to the Lord, to get right with the Lord, to have faith in the Lord, to believe God, yes, to receive the Holy Ghost, to do the things that matter. We have opportunity tonight to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His goodness, His mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again that You brought us here. We thank You for the dear ones online too, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that they would feel Thy presence and Thy touch as well as all of us, Lord, as we reach out to You, Lord. Oh God, as we believe in Thy promises, God, as we embrace eternal life, Lord, I pray, oh God, that You'd help us right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that You would take over in our lives and our hearts, oh Lord, that You'd change us so that You'd make us what we ought to be in You, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we're looking for that day when we shall see Thee face by face to face, and oh God, I pray that You'd prepare our hearts. Oh God, You'd cause us, oh Lord, to live, oh Lord, in the place that is pleasing to You, Lord. Oh God, doing Your will, being faithful servants. Lord, not being hindered, but oh Lord, being ever much faithful, very much faithful, Lord Jesus. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, as we go into Thy Word, Lord, that You'd speak through us, oh Lord. And, oh God, Thy Word, that it would minister to us, Lord. Oh God, that every, oh God, unclean spirit, every doubtful spirit, oh God, everything, oh Lord, that is not of Thee would be bound, oh God, that we would be subjective to Thee, Lord, our hearts, mind, and souls would be yielded to Thee, Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, that we could walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, oh Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, ask You to be here, to anoint, oh Lord, to use this message, and I thank You in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been in the book of Ephesians these several weeks, and perhaps we'll finish it tonight. If God helps us to get to that point, I'm not quite sure, actually. But tonight, we're going to be talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And I believe these chapters in Ephesians are very instructional, teaching us how, as children of the Lord, how to live and how to have faith, how to stand in the evil day, and you know, the right attitudes that we need to have as Christians. And tonight we're going to be talking about putting on that armor, that very important armor of God. praise the Lord that He has provided for His children. Amen. Praise God. So we're in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. We're going to be starting with verse 10. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to read a little bit here, and we'll look at some verses besides. Talk about this. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so it is, we are challenged, aren't we? We live in this world, and though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, because it's our warfare is in the spiritual realm, and we fight a good fight of faith, but it's the spirit. It's coming against those entities, those enemies that are unseen quite often, things that we don't even know and maybe not even fully perceiving, but a lot of times you can feel opposition and you can feel a need and you can feel a lack and you know that there's something hindering you, and you know God has made a way. Oh yes, that we could prevail, that we could come against that strong enemy that tries to come against us and overwhelm us. But we don't have to be overwhelmed by the power of God. Praise the Lord. So looking at verse 10 again, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And what really did shine out to me as I was reading that this afternoon, it's the strength is of God. It's in the Lord. The power is of His might. It's not anything of ourselves. It's not any works that we could do. It isn't any righteousness of our own. But it's learning to have that strength in the Lord. It's learning to lean on His strength. Learning how to fight the spiritual battles that confront us. And we know there's just, you know, you don't get to heaven by just coasting along, you know, just by merely doing what seems good to you. But there is a fight. There is, you know, a battle that we do have to engage in, because we're warring the flesh against the spirit. And you know, the scripture says that, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so it is. We need to put on His armor, as it tells us in verse 11. And the reason in verse 11 that it gives is that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Oh, the wiles, the cunning, the devices of the devil. We know that we have an adversary, that's for sure. And if we go into 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, we'll read those few verses that bring this point out. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, there in the latter part of the New Testament. 1 Peter 5. We look at verse 7. Oh, let's look at verse 6. Seems like a good place. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And truly, you know, you never get to that place where you can humble yourself and come as a little child to the Lord. You're never going to get saved. No, because it's going to take acknowledging the fact that you are a sinner, that you're lost, that you need Jesus Christ. So here is this command to humble ourselves, therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And in verse 7, so beautiful, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Well, I'll tell you what, that load gets heavy sometimes. Oh, yes. sometimes is having to bear the things that seem to be afflicting our soul. But praise the Lord, there is one to whom we can cast that care upon. And while we find that refuge in the Lord Jesus, down on our knees, beseeching Him, turning everything over to Him, realizing that He is the Almighty One. But beyond that, He cares for us. Oh, He cares for us. He cared for us so much. Oh, yes, that He put on flesh to come to this world to save us. Oh, yes, from our rottenness, from our sin, all the debauchery, all the hindrances, all the wild things that we did in our lives. But praise the Lord, He was willing to forgive us and give us new hope and give us, oh, a new life in Christ so we can cast all our care upon Him. For He cares for us. He careth for you, it says. And the verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So there is a reason to take things seriously in this life. There's a reason to be sober. There's a reason to be vigilant, to be watchful, to take this seriously, because we do have an enemy. Tells us we have an adversary here, that adversary being the devil. And he's just not, you know, a quiet little puff of smoke some of the time, maybe some, but many times he's going about as a roaring lion, very angry, very upset, very ambitious. And he's walking about. He's seeking whom he may devour. No, any weak link, anything that looks like it would yield to him. And he's going to try all kinds of things to redirect us away from God, to change our ways of thinking, and, you know, bring about temptations upon us that, would possibly cause us to fall if we would allow it to. But praise the Lord, there is one that careth for us. There is one to whom we can turn. There is one we can be strengthened, from above. And that's often down at our knees, beseeching Him and crying out to Him, pouring out our hearts to Him, because we can resist the enemy. He tells us in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And I'll tell you what, that word steadfast, it indicates that we would do it firmly and consistently and keep at it and, you know, keep knocking him down. He might try this 100 times. But praise the Lord, we're going to keep on rebuking him in the name of Jesus. We're going to keep on resisting him in the name of Jesus. So it tells us whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all go through afflictions. We all go through trials. We're all tempted. As long as we have this flesh, we do have an adversary. And he's a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So by the grace of God, we learn how to fight. We learn how to put on the armor of God and to stand up to him and how to resist him consistently, steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so it is, you know, like I said, we're all going through afflictions. We're all going through trials. We're all going through tests. And it tells us in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I love this verse so much. And I'll tell you what, that change is a gradual change as we learn to yield our lives to Jesus Christ, as we learn to resist the devil. And it may take a lot of trials, you know. Patience doesn't come easily. You know, overcoming doesn't take doesn't necessarily come easily at all. It's probably going to be rather difficult. There's going to have to be some resistance and some determination. So after that, you have suffered a while. Oh, praise the Lord, it says, make you perfect. Oh, bring you to that place of maturity where you're established in the truth, where it's determined in your heart, and you're anchored in the rock of ages, and you're rooted deep, so that you're not going to fall with a puff of smoke. You're not going to just tumble over at any temptation. You're going to be established and also strengthened. Oh, our strength that comes from God. And oh, we learn. Oh, yes, when we are weak, He is strong. And He knows how to lift us up, how to give us strength that we don't have, strength that we are able to bear that trial that may be in front of us. And so we learn to go to the Lord for that strength. And then that settling. Oh, settle you. Oh, yes, when we know in whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that He is able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. We know our Lord, and we know His promises, and we've embraced them, and we're believing in them. We're settled in the truth, and we're not, you know, tossed to and fro like children. And you know, just going one way one day and another way and the next. And, you know, just, you know, very unsettled. But no, God would have us to be settled instead. Oh, yes, to know what the Lord, Word of God declares. Oh, yes, to know what the promises of God are. And to know in whom we have believed. So, praise the Lord. We go through those trials, we go through those tests, those moments, but there comes the time when, oh, we are established in the Lord and strengthened by His might and power and settled in our Savior. And that's a wonderful thing. We praise the Lord for such. And then verse 11 says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And oh, as I was pondering this today, I was thinking how it's going to be one day. Oh, yes, when we're there in the presence of the Lord. You turn with me now to Revelation, the fourth chapter here for a moment. We have a little picture of heaven here. And we see that there's four beasts that are seraphims, actually, I believe, from the description. It tells us in verse 8 here in Revelation 4. Verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, about him. And they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. In other words, there's continual worship going up before the Lord. They are worshiping the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And it tells us that one sat on the throne in the second verse in this chapter, when John was in the Spirit and gained this glimpse of the things that were going on in the heavenlies. He saw in verse 10 the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And praise the Lord. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Oh, praise the Lord God Almighty, the one in control, the one, oh, yes, that gave life. And that realization when we stand before His throne, or kneel before His throne, however that will be, as we worship before the throne, realizing that He is the one that brought us there. Oh, He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is a worthy one. We would not be there without Him making us worthy in His blood, clothing us with His righteousness. Praise the Lord, we would not be there. And those crowns, it says, we cast before the throne. Oh, as we worship Him, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Oh, the worthy one. Oh, as we realize we've been redeemed by His blood, and that privilege of standing, bowing, worshiping before Him one day. What a day that's going to be when we see our Savior. Oh, yes, and we realize, oh, it just, oh, what did we have to do with it? Other than that He called us, and He somehow made us worthy, and He put it within our hearts to serve Him, and gave us strength to serve Him, to do His will, and to continue, and to walk with Him. It was all because of Him. Oh, yes, the one that called us, oh, yes. The one that established us and strengthened us and settled us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, He is a worthy one. And we will forever thank Him. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed abundantly upon us. Praise the Lord by Christ Jesus. Praise our Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So going back now to Ephesians 6. We want to put on that whole armor that we may be able to stand against the wiles, His cunning. You know, that devil has watched this human race forever. And he's cunning. And he's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve. But praise the Lord, again, we can have victory in Jesus. We have that whole armor of God on, and that ability to stand against His wiles, against His devices. And then it explains, verse 12 again, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All things that are unseen. Oh, yes, spiritual entities that come against us with force and discouragement. Oh, yes, and with, you know, great attempts to weaken us and to persuade us to serve the Lord. Oh, we have an adversary. We realize, yes, there are principalities and powers that we are fighting that are in opposition to our walk with the Lord. There's rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places that try to come at us, and they use men and women who have given their hearts to the devil to sometimes attack us, or sometimes this other kind of oppression and trouble and whatever all the devil can try to conjure up against us, that battle that we fight in our mind. And that's also, now let's go to 2 Corinthians here a moment, the 10th chapter. These verses that go along with this thought, that battle that we fight. Just turning over a couple books to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and here it explains very clearly, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the things that oppose us, the spiritual realms that are unclear, those places of opposition because of the devil and his cohorts. Those that oppose us and those vessels that He uses here on earth. So we're not fighting against the carnal, earthly realm, but we're through God pulling down strongholds by his power and by his might, in his mighty, wonderful, saving name, that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, yes. And by the blood of the Lamb, by his power, we can cast down imaginations, as it tells us in verse 5. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I thank God for this verse 5. It tells us how to fight. So often the battle is in the mind. And you know, all kinds of things come into our mind. That imagination, all kinds of things. Probably most of which are not true. Come to attack us and give us, you know, thoughts that, you know, discourage and hinder, and, you know, maybe put blame on other people, and, you know, it could be a real warfare, even right there in the mind. But praise the Lord, we can learn how to cast down those imaginations in the name of the Lord Jesus. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, everything that comes against the scripture, everything that's in opposition to what's declared in this book, we can cast it down. We can realize if, you know, it's contrary to scripture, then I don't want anything to do with it. It's of the devil. It's not of God. It's contrary. So we're going to cast those kind of things down. Anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And so we bring those thoughts to try to rise in our minds into captivity. Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus, by resisting the devil, by putting those thoughts down, by not going there, not allowing them to hinder us, we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. That tells us how to fight this good fight of faith, to overcome. Yes, to gain ground in this spiritual warfare that we fight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So then verse 13, back in Ephesians 6, tells us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So it's talking about putting on the whole armor, not just one part or one piece, the whole armor of God in its entirety, so that we can withstand. In other words, that we can resist, we can oppose, we can overcome in the evil day, so we can be strengthened with the power of the Lord. That overcoming strength that he gives us, we can withstand. We can resist in the evil day when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. And having done all, it says to stand. Oh, yes, we're going to stand fast. We're going to stand firm. You know, we don't want to move here and move there and you know, you know, have this train of thought one moment and another the next, and, you know, be very unstable. No. We learn what truly is anchored in the Lord, what really is of God, and with that, well, we can be determined, yes, to hold those things dear and to resist all the other things that try to, you know, weave their way in and, you know, overwhelm us and, you know, knock us down or whatever all. Oh, yes, and, you know, make us upset and angry and, oh, wow, you know, making people that love us, perhaps our enemies. I mean, the mind is a powerful tool and we can use it for good, but, oh, it can be a tremendous hindrance if we allow it. So therefore, we're going to learn how to fight, how to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Then it tells us in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh yes, we've been told to buy the truth and sell it not. Oh, that pearl of great price, the truth of God's word. Oh, Jesus declared that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by him there is only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. He showed the way. He declared the truth. And he is the life. And all of those things, there is no other way to get to God. But through Jesus Christ, there is no other way to get to heaven. And he also declared in the 8th chapter of John, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, there's wonderful freedom in knowing the Word of God, knowing what the bounds are, the limits, but also knowing how to have victory and how to triumph, and all the promises of God, all the positive things that God has prepared for his people that love him. So praise the Lord. We want our loins to be girded about with truth, the truth that is found in God's Word. Praise the Lord. Yes, Luke 12:35 says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Oh, praise the Lord, going hand in hand, those loins girded about with the truth of God's word and the light of the Lord burning in our hearts, shining brightly so that the world can see us, that we're, you know, a candlestick that's set on a hill that all can see and understand that we serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we put on truth, our loins, the lower part of our person, so-called, and girt about with truth. And then it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, yes, that breastplate of righteousness. We know that we have no righteousness of our own. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags, it tells us in Isaiah. Actually, Isaiah 64. And we also often quote from Titus 3:5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Oh, yes, and praise the Lord. There was nothing we could do of ourselves to obtain salvation, but the Lord made a way so that we could come to him. If you would turn with me right now to Isaiah 59. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture in Isaiah 59 that I would like you to see. Praise the Lord. Oh, we were in such a terrible way before the Lord had mercy on us. Oh, we had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, there was none righteous. No, not one. And here in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 12, oh, it describes the plight that we were in when we lived in sin. Isaiah 59, verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. A hopeless state, really. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Oh, a keen description of the world, actually, that we live in today in many ways. But we were all in that state at one point. We were all in our misery and sin at one point. We all had departed from our God and lived that other life before we knew the living God. So departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And then, oh, another very descriptive verse of conditions in this world today, verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Oh, the wonderful truth of God's word, the things that are right and good and pure and holy, those things fall in the street, being trampled, being mocked, being ridiculed. Oh, people calling things that are evil good and good evil. That's the world we live in today. Truth is fallen in the street, and it says equity, or other words, justice cannot enter. It says in verse 15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Oh, yes, they're coming against the person that comes to the Lord so often. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And certainly this was the condition of this world before Jesus Christ came into the scene. Oh, yes. Oh, it was a world where there was no judgment. And he that departed from evil made himself a prey. The Lord saw it, it displeased him. And he tells us in verse 16, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. There was nobody to stand in the gap and atone for the sins, all the confusion, all the trouble. There was no intercessor. So what did our God do? Oh, our wonderful God, oh, his plan from the foundation of the world. It says in verse 16, the middle part here, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Oh, yes, Almighty God, who put on flesh to come to this world so that he could be at our level. He came as a servant. Oh, yes, as a minister to reach out and to save, to heal, to restore, oh, to bring back that which was lost, all those things. He came, his arm bringing forth salvation, the extension of God, the arm of God coming forth to extend mercy, to extend grace, to bring hope in a world that was hopeless, to bring forth righteousness, his righteousness, oh, that quality of being right, being pure, oh, before the Lord. It sustained him, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Oh, that breastplate of righteousness. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh, all those, oh yes, pieces there. He put on, oh, as he was coming to bring forth his will in this world that had gone so astray. So righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head, the garments of vengeance for clothing, it was clad with zeal, oh, the zeal of the Lord of hosts that will perform it. Yes, as his cloak. And then it says, according to their deeds, verse 18, accordingly he will repay. Oh, it's coming back. There's a payday. It's coming back. It's coming soon. It's sooner than most people think, I dare say. It's coming at a time when most are not expecting. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. Oh, people have not seen an angry God. Oh, as he will come, oh, with wrath, with vengeance, oh, to judge this world. He's going to pay back the nastiness of man, the sin, the rebellion, oh, the iniquity, the things that have not been brought to him and atoned for, things that have been left undone. Oh, he's going to repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. He's going to pay back according to their deeds. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And I praise the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Oh yes, that enemy tries to get us many times. But praise the Lord, we give it to the Lord. Oh, that Spirit of the Lord comes in like a flood, bringing forth a standard against the enemy that would try to overwhelm us. Thank the Lord for it. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, we have one that knows how to deliver, how to set us free. Yes, how to give us hope in this world that, oh my, sometimes seems, oh, so contrary. And verse 20 says, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, those that would come to him in repentance, oh yes, who would humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that they may be exalted in due time. Those that would turn from transgression in Jacob, he came, yes, to seek and to save those that were lost, that would acknowledge him, that would bend the knee in repentance. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Oh, the established word of God that comes forth to bring forth a people that are called by his name. Oh, they'll walk in holiness and live for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But how it was he put on righteousness as a breastplate, oh, the helmet of salvation on his head, the garments of vengeance for clothing, clad with zeal as a cloak. Praise the Lord. So, back in Ephesians 6, verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And then verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord, as he gets a hold of our heart, oh yes, he gets us to that place where we can humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God. Then, oh yes, he begins to prepare our way, prepare our hearts, and begins to work in us so that we can go forth with that gospel of peace. We can bring it to a dead in a dying world that so desperately needs salvation. I was thinking of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, one little verse, actually, verse 13. Hebrews 12, verse 13. It says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I'll tell you what, if we're not walking the straight and narrow way, if we're not walking that path, then people aren't going to see Jesus in us. It's going to be a mixed signal at best, you know? In fact, they might not see anything different about us at all. We haven't made straight paths for our feet. That means that, you know, we get our life in line with the Word of God. We follow the things that are declared in the Scripture so that our path is straight. We're walking, oh, on that straight path. We've entered into that narrow and straight way. And we're continuing on it, oh, that straight way. Remember that dream the Lord gave me a few years ago where it just seemed I was on a path. And what I noticed about that path, it was very straight. Very straight and very narrow. And there I was walking that path, and it was like it was through the woods or something. And you know, at the front it was like the vegetation and all the leaves and everything, they were opened up. They were, you know, they weren't hanging over. It was sunny in that spot. I could see very clearly. But as down the road it was more vague. You could see overgrowth and other things, you know, in the way, vegetation in the way, but praise the Lord, as you walk down that path, it kept on opening up, the light of the Lord leading and guiding and directing, oh yes, showing us how to make our path straight, how to walk with the Lord, how to do his will, how to overcome all those things. And oh, praise the Lord, yes, you know, we're not walking the way of the world, you know, they're going one direction and we're going the other by the grace of God. So the need, yes, to make straight paths for our feet. Yes, we don't want that which is lame to be turned out of the way, but let it be healed. Oh, yes, if they can see Jesus in us, they can know that we have answers that come from the Lord, and we can help them to be redirected in their living. Praise the Lord as we align our lives in accordance with God's word. Praise God. Oh, yes. Going back to Isaiah for a moment, it talks about the feet of those that bring the gospel. Isaiah 52. We look at verses 6 and 7 in Isaiah 52. Beautiful scripture here. In fact, if you look at the very first verse, it says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Oh yes, Lord, coming to this world to give us that garment of righteousness, his righteousness, so we could put that beautiful garment on and be strengthened with his might and his power. Because all we come to that holy city of Jerusalem that's coming down from God out of heaven, that new Jerusalem. Oh, there's going to be no uncircumcised. There's going to be no unclean. We've all been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If we're in that city where the Lamb is light, there's going to be no more that's going to come unto thee, the uncircumcised and the unclean. They're not going to come to that place where the Lord reigns. And so it tells us here in verse 6 of chapter 52 of Isaiah, "Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." Oh, yes. Jesus said, you know, except you know that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You know, if they didn't get that one point, then they were dead. Oh, they were not on the road that leadeth to life. But praise the Lord, there was a people, and there is a people to this very day that know the name of the Lord. Oh, and we know the voice of the Lord. Oh, yes, and we look to him and we live. And it says in verse 7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that published peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that published salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Oh, praise God, that wonderful message of salvation as we go forth sowing the seed. Oh, yes, bringing the glad tidings of good, of the gospel, the good news, the published salvation. Oh, yes, for we know that our God reigneth. Praise the Lord, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bring good tidings." Oh, praise the Lord. What a joy to bring forth the salvation of the Lord, the published peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, the publisheth salvation, the saith unto Zion, "Oh, thy God reigneth." Praise the Lord. So going back here again to Ephesians 6, our feet need to be shod, or prepared, or clothed, provided with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he knows how to get us ready. You know, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, as it tells us in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 15. We study so that we may have approval, and so that we might know what the word of God says. And we learn how to put on this armor so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. So praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 16, beyond having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it tells us above all in verse 16 to take the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I like that little word, all. It means every single thing the devil tries to bring against us, every spirit of opposition, every stronghold, all of that could be brought down in the name of Jesus by that shield of faith, all that wonderful faith that He puts in our heart, that faith that brings us to God initially, but that faith that continues to grow in us. Tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith, that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, that faith that comes to us. We know that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I've just noticed that. The people, oh yes, that have that hunger and thirst for God. There's something in the heart that's driving them, that's leading them, that's, you know, showing them their need. And they have this great desire to know Jesus Christ. Oh yes, and to know his word. Oh yes, even to be with the people of God. All of those things that he puts within us, that shield of faith. Oh yes, so that we can stand, oh yes, in the evil day. And praise the Lord, that shield of faith is so powerful, it's so strong, that if we're holding it, if we're embracing it, it's a part of our thinking, we can quench, we can stop all the fiery darts of the wicked, every single one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, with that shield of faith. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was thinking of the events in Paul's life a little bit today as I was preparing in the 27th chapter of Acts. Paul is on his way to Rome, and wow, what a way to get there as a prisoner at this point. But, you know, it looked pretty hopeless there as he and many others, 276 souls, in fact, were on that ship. And they were close by the island of Crete, it tells us in this 27th chapter of Acts, going to Rome, but you know, quite a ways off at this moment for sure. But anyway, there was a tempestuous wind that arose, a wind that was called Euroclydon, and it was so powerful, so strong that the ship was caught and they couldn't bear up with the wind. It was so strong. They were tossing all over the place. They were being driven by the wind. And they hardly know what to do. Paul had told them prior to this that he felt it wise that they not go on this trip at the moment. But they hadn't listened. And so it is. Things are not going right. And they're near a certain island called Clauda, it tells us here in the 16th chapter of Acts 27, but you know, they were working, they had to work extremely hard to make that ship move at all. And they had taken up everything that they could, they used all the helps they had and all the undergirding of the ship, and they were just fearful that they're going to fall into quicksands and the strake sail and everything else. They were so driven. And it tells us in verse 18, they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. And so they begin to lighten the ship. And then, you know, the third day, they begin to cast out all the items that were unneedful. So they considered to make the ship lighter. And it was so dark. The sun had not shone by day. The stars had not come out at night. It was like that for many days. And there was no small tempest. It just kept on and kept on and kept on. They were just tossed to and fro. And it just seemed like they were going nowhere. Just back and forth and back and forth. And there was no hope left, it tells us in the 20th chapter. There was, you know, a hope that we should be saved was then taken away, it tells us. But it was after a long abstinence, after a long time without any substance, any food, Paul, who was actually a prisoner, praise the Lord, he was the one that knew God. Oh yes, and God talked to him. It says God Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." But he said in verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Oh, praise the Lord. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Oh, praise the Lord, there in the middle of the tempest. Oh, those many days. In fact, it ends up being 14 days before they eat it all, and before this ends, they are tossed and driven in the midst of all of that. Oh, the angel of the Lord appeared before Paul. Praise the Lord. Oh, those times when we are at our lowest. Oh, when the tempest may be raging in our life, and it may seem like there is no hope, there is no answers. We don't know what to do. We don't know what we're doing. We have no thought of what we're going to do next. But praise the Lord, there's one that hears us. There's one that stands by us. And Paul tells it how the angel of the Lord stood by him that night, that God whom he served, came and spoke to him, telling him not to fear. "Don't fear, Paul. You're going to be brought to Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar. It's going to happen. It's my will, and nothing can change it. And I thank God if we're in Christ." Yes. Who could, all things are going to work for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. He's going to make our path straight. He's going to, walk with us, and his will is going to be done. No matter what the devil may be trying to do, we can stand steadfast and trust the Lord, put our faith in him, and go forth. Oh, yes. That shield of faith, oh yes, that gives us faith in the midst of a great tempest, of a great storm, so we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, don't fear, Paul. It's going to be okay. And in fact, no life is going to be lost. Just the ship. God told him precisely. And then he answered that. He said, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." I believe God. No matter what anybody else says or whatever somebody else declares, I believe God according to his word, according to his plan, his purpose, that it shall be even as it was told me. What he has said, that he will do. What he has promised, yes, those are my promises. Those I can claim in the name of Jesus. And yes, God had told him, "Yeah, we're going to be cast upon a certain island." And so it happened. And, every detail, the Lord went with them. And so it happened. They landed on a certain island called Melita. And the Lord preserved every life. All 276 souls were saved because one man believed God. And God stood by him and brought it to pass according to his will. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, that wonderful shield of faith. Besides that, in verse 17 here in Ephesians 6, it tells us, "And take the helmet of salvation." Oh, yes, we read about that helmet of salvation in Isaiah 59 a few minutes ago. He was clad, oh, yes, with that breastplate of righteousness and that helmet of salvation. The garment, our Lord and Savior. We can take that helmet. Oh, yes, we can take it. That wonderful helmet that we have in him, that hope that we have. And plus the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, this wonderful Word of life. That Word that the psalmist wrote in Psalms 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh yes, that word that we want to be deep, that word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It's also the psalmist told us, oh yes, that wonderful word of God that speaks to our heart. And oh, I know what it's like at times when, you know, everything might be going awry, and that word of God begins to feed our soul. You know, a few days ago, I guess it was actually Monday night, a couple days ago, I was on the telephone speaking to a woman that calls our ministry from time to time, and it's not really easy to talk with her because she doesn't really remember much of what to tell her, it seems, and has a lot of things mixed up. But anyway, she was going through a battle and, you know, feeling extremely lonely and you know, forsaken and a lot of things like that. And, you know, we were talking and she was, you know, sharing with me and telling me. But I'll tell you what, there was a point that things began to change in our conversation. It was really beautiful because all at once, she began to quote from the scriptures. She went to Proverbs, the third chapter, for one place, 5 and 6, and began to quote it. And then some other chapters, things that she had put into her heart, even though it seems at this moment, you know, her memory is very frail and she's very, very forgetful, but yet she had those scriptures in her heart. And I'll tell you, it seemed like everything began to change that course of conversation. You could feel faith rising up, you know, the hope of the Lord. And you could feel like everything is going to be okay because I'm anchored in the Lord and I've got His armor on. I thank God, you know, how beautiful it is. Oh, yes, that word of God, that breath of life that speaks to our soul. Oh, yes. Oh, I know what it's like. I remember one day, one Sunday morning many years ago when I was with child and I felt like I was going to lose that baby and I knew I was fighting death. And you know, all at once there, it was a Sunday morning, the scripture began to come to me and feed me and put faith in my heart. And I began to, let faith have its perfect work. And praise the Lord, I didn't lose that baby. No, she's very healthy. Baby, when she's born, is a very wonderful, dear child, young woman at this moment. I thank God, you know, the word of God that comes to us and lifts us up and takes us beyond the dismal places. Oh, yes, the hard spots. Oh, when we're full of fear and, oh, we're going through a trial. But that word of God, that, wonderful shield of faith. Oh, that speaks to us and the Word of God that, you know, inspires us and leads us and gives us direction. Oh, how we want to hide it in our hearts. We want it to be deep within. That's the thing that feeds our soul. And, you know, when you're tossed and turned and you don't know what to do, thank God we can turn to His Word. And, oh, yes, praise the Lord, we want as much of it as possible deep within our very being. I do marvel, you know. I know Pastor Meyer used to say, you know, talk about this very old woman that he ministered to in a nursing home. She was, you know, at that place where she wasn't recognizing people. But yet she recognized him. And, you know, she recognized the scripture. She could even quote the scripture. I know Grandma Jenny, years ago, yes, her mind was, you know, she had Alzheimer's really bad. But she could still quote the scripture. You know why? So it was deep in her heart. Lord, He put it in her heart. And when it came to those times of trials and tests, and, oh yes, it began to feed the soul. Oh, in spite of everything else. You know, there may be a time when we don't know anybody else. Of course, we don't want to think that way. But, you know, should it be? We still want to know our God. We still want Him to be right there with us, feeding our soul. The scripture, oh yes, those words of faith, oh yes, that brought us salvation. Oh, and continue to lead us and show us the things that we need, oh, to sustain us in those hours, in those times of trials and testing. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we know, oh yes, that Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, there's nothing, oh, that it doesn't discern the Word of God that is spoken forth, oh, from the mouth of Almighty God. Oh, yes, we want it hidden deep in our hearts, and we want to live by that Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so then it tells us in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Oh, the ability that He gave us. Oh, yes, when He filled us with the Holy Ghost. And when He came into our lives and we get to speak in other tongues, the Spirit of God gave us utterance. Oh, that wonderful gift that He has given us, that we could pray in the Spirit. Oh, yes, again, another tool that He has given us, because there are those times when we don't know how to pray of ourselves. Oh, we don't know what's going on. We don't understand. We can't see. But praise the Lord, we can pray in the Spirit. And that Spirit makes intercession through us. So we can pray for things that we don't know of, for circumstances, for direction, for whatever is unclear at the moment, or maybe for individuals that are going through a great, great difficulty at the moment. But we can pray in the Spirit, and we can make supplication for all saints. What another gift. What a beautiful gift He's given us. As His children, you know, He equipped us. He equipped us with His armor so that we would not have to be defeated, so that we can stand through all the trials and tests of this world. We can stand against the wiles, the cunning, the devices of the devil. We can stand against them because He's given us His armor. And praise the Lord, if we will embrace it, if we will put it on, we will live by it. Oh, yes, we can triumph. Oh, we can prevail. Yes, we can be anchored in the rock, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. It tells us in Jude, verse 20, that little book with only one chapter before the book of Revelation, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how we build ourselves up. Oh, we pray in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit prays through us and makes intercession through us. And oh, by His grace, by His power, by His might, we get through those hard places. We get through those questionable times. Oh, yes, and we can help others. We can make supplication. Oh, we can pray for others, their requests, petitions. We can make supplication for those that are in dire need. And wow, I mean, we all need that strengthening. We all need that hope. You know, and I thank God. There's often times for the day He'll put people on our hearts. And praise the Lord, you know, we can cry out even at that moment on their behalf. Praise the Lord. So we can always be praying, always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. Oh, we're waiting for that moment when our Lord shall return thereunto with all perseverance, all that persistency that we need, and supplication, oh yes, for all saints, making petitions for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And, you know, Paul did not often ask for prayer for himself. But here in verse 19, and he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So even here he was asking for prayer, that he could speak boldly to those that so desperately needed the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Oh, we want to have that boldness and that ability as an ambassador, as a representative of the kingdom of God. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But praise God, he gave us tools. Oh, yes, that armor that we can put on so that we can stand against all the cunning of the enemy, that we can resist in the evil day, and having all, done all, yet stand. Praise the Lord. And one day we're going to stand in his presence before the living God. I pray that we can do it with a clear conscience, of a life that's been given to him, or a life that's embraced the armor of God. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Pray, oh God, that you work in us, Lord. Oh God, that you equip us, Lord. Oh God, you give us that boldness that we need. Oh God, the ability. Oh God, to stand fast, the determination, Lord. Help us to put on that whole armor of God. Oh, Lord, not leaving off one piece, but, oh, God, going forward and doing your will and standing against the wiles of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. That's the book of Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we are going to close with a chorus. We're going to go to number 168 in the chorus book, I Believe God, number 168. I believe God, I believe God.